Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
So, second half's about to get underway. Maybe not quite yet. Andrew McLean, have you restarted?
No, not yet. The team's on their way back out the pitch at the moment. I know we've been having a bit of a laugh about Christmas nights out and stuff like that, but you do fear a bit for Hamilton and for John Rankin, because they just looked miles off it in this game. They had maybe a 10-minute spell where they looked okay, but now every single time Queen's Park go forward, you're almost expecting a goal. I mean, the fourth goal that they scored, it was sort of wee flicks in and around the box from the Queen's Park players. It was nicely worked. Grant Savory finished it off, but Hamilton just can't really be allowing Queen's Park to do that. They'd only won 1 in 11 in the league before today, so I think John Rankin will be worried standing on the touchline. And I mentioned it earlier on, when you turn to the Hamilton bench, it's all young players. Four of the players born in 2006, one born in 2005, one born in 2003, and the other three born in 2002. So he's not got a lot to turn to. He's not really got a lot to work with, and you wonder whether that maybe might buy him a bit of time, because the Hamilton hierarchy will know that he doesn't have an experienced squad and he does have a lot of young players, but they'll need to be careful in this game because it's 4-0 as the second half kicks off, and it could really be anything for Queen's Park in this game.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Trade accounts available now. Call them today.
Yeah, that's a worry. Not the fact that there's not a single member of the Hamilton bench who was alive when I started high school, but that they're 4-0 down, Hugh Keevans. You wonder where it goes from here and what the reaction will be like.
My guess is, subconsciously, the Queen's Park players have Newcastle in mind more than they have a fifth goal. So teams in that position, four up at half time, subconsciously switch off. I wouldn't be surprised if it stayed 4-0.
Ackies need to hope that's the case.
I hope so. For John's sake, to expect the Queen's Park team to be in the conga at the tunnel.
I think he'll go the other way, Hugh. I've been involved in things like this before, and you go out there, you know the party's safe, you know the journey's got to be brilliant. Let's put on a show. I think Hamilton will lose goals in the second half.
Well, we'll find out then. It could get a lot worse, or there might be some sort of unlikely comeback. Hamilton Ackies fans, whichever it is, make sure you get in touch with your thoughts after the game on the usual phone line. I'll give you the nod when it's time to get in touch. Until then, you can stay in contact with us at Clyde SSB. Speaking of which, let's do this nice and early, Hugh.
The second half teaser. With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I have played beside Paul Telfer and Stephen Presley. I've been managed by Roy Hodgson and Gordon Strachan. I was taken off in an FA Cup final, but played in and won a Scottish League Cup final. Now here's the clue. I have the same number of letters in my forename as there are in my surname.
Wow.
Who am I?
Let's read it again.
I have played alongside Paul Telfer and Stephen Presley. I've been managed by Roy Hodgson and Gordon Strachan. I was taken off in an FA Cup final, but played in and won a Scottish League Cup final. Also, I have the same number of letters in my forename as there are in my surname. Who am I?
Get guessing then at Clyde SSB. Send your tweets in and let's see who can not only get the answer, but who can get it in the quickest time. I'll keep an eye on Wilson and DL to see how they fare as well. And we've got one of these nice and early.
Goal Flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Our both have equalised. Dick Campbell's worked his magic at the break, a rousing team talk, and David Gold has scored to draw them level. Our both 1, Morton 1.
Well, it's a good way to start. Glad for Fraser that he's actually got a game that's kicked into life after the long journey. So game's firmly in the balance.
Yeah, so it's an early goal in the second half. That's all we've got. There have been three changes for the Ackies. The teenagers are all on. Well, Andy Winter might be 20 by now. Andy Winter's come on. Fergus Owens and Gabe Forsyth. Gabe Forsyth, born in 2006.
Yep.
On incredible for Hamilton Ackies at half time.
That's the one. That was school with my boy, and it's good to see him getting a chance. And see, if you're John Rankin and you've looked at the performance again, the same players churning at the same performance, why not? Why not give youth a chance? Sometimes you're better with kids who are hungry and will run about and do the absolute essentials, and you might just get a spark out of them. So it's a brave decision sometimes, but sometimes you're forced into it, and this might be the start of a great career for some of these young lads.
Absolutely. East Fife 1-2. Tommy Goss has scored just into the second half for Annan as well. So we'll keep an eye on all those lower league games. Don't forget, when the open line is here at 5, you can have your say on anything you wish. Maybe it'll be Celtic's new signing, for instance, because they've signed Alistair Johnson earlier on today. I think, like we alluded to earlier, Mark, before we even get to whether these guys are good or not, just on the face of it, Celtic fans are pleased at getting the business done so early.
Yeah, and I think that's a real plus point that Ange Postecoglou has brought to the club. But he's a manager, he's no nonsense, he likes to get things done quickly. And you've got to give credit, I think, to the Celtic board as well, because unless something that we don't know has happened behind the scenes, it seems like when Ange Postecoglou says he wants something, they back him all the way and they get things done quickly. When I was at the club, even when I left the club, they went through a period that they were linked with numerous players right up until the last days of the transfer window, and the players got away that they should have got over the line. It doesn't seem to be the case with this manager.
Ange Postecoglou is the biggest man at the club. He's bigger than anyone. It doesn't matter who's coming in as chairman. It doesn't matter who's going out as chairman. It doesn't matter about the CEO, Michael Nicholson. Nobody at Celtic is bigger than Ange Postecoglou. He is the people's favourite. In a short space of time, he has made himself an iconic figure at Celtic Park. And he continues to grow in the position.
Do you not think the arrival, Peter? No. Well,
that's what I was going to say. That's clearly been it was clearly the fear amongst a lot of Celtic fans. If you read Twitter or listen to these phone-ins last night,
I would find it impossible, Hugh, to think that Peter may come in there soft at the beginning, but I think he'll grow back into the guy who ran the club for all those years.
Yeah, but he's a very clever man that knows the way the club's going, Mark. Yeah, so yeah. If you walk in there and you know it's very successful, you know the way it's going positive, it's going forward, then if you're good at your job, you sit back there and you just keep everything moving along the way it is.
It's also a different role, or it should be.
Exactly. The talk just now is all very complimentary. Ange Postecoglou saying it's good for the club. Peter Lawwell was heavily involved in bringing Ange to the club. But from afar, it would strike me that if Peter Lawwell ever strays into a position where he is interfering with the decisions that Ange Postecoglou should be taking, Celtic would be looking for a new manager.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I must state that Peter Lawwell's coming back. I think he was a great servant for the club and, you know, guided them to some terrific success. But I think it's going to be difficult for him to come back into the club and not be as active as he once was. He's not been away for 10 years, remember. It's only a short space of time. And I know the good thing is he's already got a relationship with Ange Postecoglou, heavily involved in bringing him to the club. So Daz is right. If everything's going well, then fine. But I just wonder if he'll get, you know, itchy feet.
I think Peter Lawwell, look, everybody knows, a very clever man, intelligent man. I think he'll have a thought about that when he had his time away, he had his break. I think he's now coming back. I think he'll realise how forward thinking the club's, what it's all about. The manager's been a terrific success so far. Transfer markets have been brilliant for them. No, I don't think there'll be a problem there at all with Peter Lawwell. I think it'll be a good added addition.
The situation is that the fear has already been flagged up that there'll be too much interference from the chairman. However, that is supposition. Until he gets across the door on the 1st of January, we will need to see how it pans out. But it would be very, very foolish, and he's not a foolish man, to cross Ange Postecoglou.
No goals going in at the moment then to tell you about. Just that Annan one was the most recent, and I brought that to you a few moments ago. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. We're looking for your answers to the second half teaser. We're asking for your Christmas night out stories, because tonight is the night. This is when football teams start going away. It's the 3rd of December, obviously. Queen's Park, for instance, 4-0 up on Hamilton. They're going straight down to Newcastle after the game. Air United players are off to Dublin. We're just asking you, whether it's an amateur football team, a junior football team, maybe even your workplace, Tell us your stories, your best stories about your Christmas nights out. You can keep them clean, you can leave out names, you can send them anonymously, do whatever you want, but just give us all your memories of your favourite Christmas nights out. Send them at Clyde SSB.
Remember one time, Gordon, we sailed out, we went to Manchester for another night out, and Ricky Hatton had just fought Mayweather in America.
I remember that, yeah.
So it was around about that year. So he just got back, he was in the same club as we were. And a friend of the show, who's been on this show and sometimes through the Euros, went up to Ricky, and Ricky's face a bit barred and bruised, and he'd had a few drinks, and he was going at Ricky, doing the punch into his face.
No.
And Ricky, I don't think Ricky Hatton was best pleased as somebody trying to mock punch him in the face.
What a pest.
Yeah, it was amusing.
What a big pest.
He's a boxer, not a set of swings.
Oh, it was. Oh, no, that's not the one you're thinking of.
Oh, it's not.
It's a more sensible one, actually.
Oh, another one then.
Yeah.
Can we just name him? He'll be busy today.
Aye, he'll be busy. He's got
Gary,
a job.
Gary Caldwell.
It's Gary Caldwell. Gary, was it?
Didn't think that. I thought he'd be Captain Gaz Sensible.
Is well. Oh, no. Once Gary gets a few refreshments, he's a funny guy. Funny guy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't Charles. Charlie's got a good few.
What an absolute pest.
We can't talk about Charlie's.
Poor Ricky Hatton. Although, to be fair, if you're going to go out, you've got to sort of expect a bit of that, do you?
I think you'd expect selfies and unlucky Ricky. I don't think you'd expect
a shadow boxing
in front of you.
Good city man, Hatton.
Yeah,
big fan.
Blue Moon. That was his walk on music.
Have you seen the shape of him now?
Oh, he's down. He's
amazing. Yeah, something turning out. Is it hope for you yet?
Best tune the way down.
Best fight.
You're going up the way.
Best fight I ever saw in person. Ricky Hatton, Costa Zoo, Manchester.
That was magnificent, wasn't it? I remember that.
2000 what year?
Now you're asking. Russell Crowe came into the ring and did the full gladiator bit before it was all. The start of the fight was time for American television. You had to be in the arena 4 hours before it started. But the best fight I ever saw.
Did he actually? What's his face?
Russell Crowe.
Seriously?
Yeah, he came into the ring.
I remember the fight. I don't remember that, but.
Yeah.
2005, incidentally.
It was all very glamorous. You know, there's Russell Crowe, and then Ricky Hatton's mum stood on my foot in the press conference afterwards. She had stiletto heels on. I thought.
How would you remember that?
It could have been anybody's mum. He's just went, that's Ricky Hatton's.
No. Sorry, love.
Who else's mum's going to be in the press conference, though?
Yeah,
after the
exactly.
Come on.
Anybody's mum?
You two need to start respecting this guy.
Nah, yeah. We think
you have rubbed shoulders with the great skew.
You can always verify my stories as a lie, right?
Oh, as a lie.
But Hugh, we can never get to because we don't know.
Well, the former head of media at the SFA was with me, so are you going to contradict Daryl Broadfoot's work as well?
Oh yeah, we'll get him on the phone.
There you are.
The Aki's subs weren't alive and Ricky Hatton fought Costa.
Incredible. I have two grandchildren who are older than these Aki's subs. Two grandchildren.
Well, let's see what impact they can make. They're 4-0 down. How's that for a baptism?
I know. There you go, deal with that. But sometimes it's the best, Gordon. Guys, just get in, no fear. Just go and play the way you've been playing and training in the reserve games and get what you can out of it. Sometimes you get a better reaction. Why keep playing the same players that let you down week after week?
Netherlands 2, USA 0 on 58 minutes in the World Cup knockout phases.
Reina came on for the US. I take it that's Claudio Reina's son, is it?
Oh, and more than that, who's he named after?
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
He is indeed.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah. Gio Reina, very highly rated. I think he's loads of injuries though, hasn't he, in the last couple of seasons. I think the Netherlands made a couple of changes as well at the break, which is quite something considering the 2-0 up. You know, it's not often you see that because it's not like the game's gone and you're resting players.
No, because the next goal, if USA get it, then all of a sudden, bang.
Maybe they've anticipated changes from the USA to get back into it, so they've thrown a counter. So a couple of changes as well. Netherlands, well worthy of their lead mark. They've saved up their best performance of the tournament by a mile. For the right time.
Look good. Look much like the Netherlands we're used to seeing in these tournaments, because the opening stages, they looked a bit of a dull watch, to be honest. But they got through. But today they're looking like a real threat. And who would they get in the next round? Would they get the winners of Well, England, Argentina, Australia, would they?
Yeah. Could be, exactly. I think they're in that part of the draw, Mark. Yeah. I hope they are, because I just
made that
agreed.
Up.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm going to have to start throwing my weight behind the Netherlands, because I've got them, I've got them and England in the sweep, and well, you know my thinking there. And I thought Netherlands had absolutely no chance, and they still probably don't, but I'm glad that they're looking a bit better. Let's actually revisit that. Let's see who's still standing in the sweepstake. Hugh Keevans, you're still in, times two, Argentina and Croatia.
Yep.
Gordon, you've got Portugal.
Yep.
But I'm afraid Denmark are gone.
Gone.
Mark Wilson, you've got Brazil.
Yeah.
Your two teams, Brazil and Cameroon, up against each other. Last night. So who are we saying goodbye to altogether? Roger Hanna, he's gone. Belgium and Serbia. Andy Halliday's gone. Saudi Arabia, Uruguay.
Andrew McLean must be gone.
Yeah, he's Canada, Costa Rica,
Paul
Canada.
Done it, peace.
Costa Rica, Canada. He's obviously gone. I think. What else?
Marvin, big Marvin.
He's still hoping for the Aussies can come through. He's
got a chance. He'll be away.
Simon Donnelly's hanging on South Korea.
They might be the surprise package. Put it next round.
Kenny Miller hanging on to France.
Oh, they're in me a shout.
I think Gabriel's gone. He had Ghana and Mexico. Fraser Wishart, he will be anti England. He's got Senegal. So it'll be.
Is that his only team?
That's left in it. Oh, no. Yeah, not as sorry yet. Yeah. David Friel's got the. David Friel's about to go out, I think, through USA. He's still got Japan.
So I like Japan. On I really there. Do like Japan. I'd love Japan to win it. They would just tidy everything up on the go, leave the place the way it was.
Brilliant. What a save. USA goalkeeper, what a save. Almost 3-0. Memphis Depay again.
I think he's got to save this, Hugh. I really do.
You think it's for the cameras?
Yeah. Catch us. He's right down his throat. Got to save that.
His throat's 2 feet above their head.
Ah, come on.
Don't want to give any credit to this tournament.
No.
Will you watch your final?
I don't know. When is it on?
18th. It's the 18th. Do you know the reason why? Is because, well, I was going to say we, but as if I had anything to do with it. That's my daughter's second birthday party. Oh. And a few of my friends quite quickly pointed out, what are you up to here? That's the World Cup final. How's this going to work?
Is it an afternoon KO?
Well, it's a 4 o'clock kickoff, I think, the World Cup.
Is it?
I think
so. Oh, that's good, because I believe I've got tickets to see Paolo Nutini that night. So that's good if it's a 4 o'clock kickoff. I'll get that.
3 o'clock, even better.
Oh, yes. Early start.
3 o'clock. You're sorted.
What a day.
Where is he playing?
Glasgow.
Is it? Good. Yeah. I was supposed to be acting with him, but unfortunately I couldn't make the what do you call it when you go, the rehearsals?
Well, that's right. I forgot about your big sitcom.
Paolo was there.
Your bottle crashed and you refused.
No, my bottle
to do
didn't
it.
Crash. I was just unfortunate. Other things came.
What do you mean, Paolo? Was
yeah, he was part of the staff.
The production?
No, the staff. The
cast.
Come and see Paolo.
So can we not tempt you back to the World Cup at all? Have you totally chucked it?
I'll tell you what, I will watch, only because it's a Sunday and I've got my day planned out. I'm going to watch England tomorrow night.
That's because you're a big England fan.
Yeah, I do like England, yeah. I've always liked England throughout the years. I like watching them in grandstand. When grandstand,
maybe whilst we're also getting your thoughts in for your favourite Christmas night out memories, maybe we could share our best World Cup memories, just to try and inspire Gordon DL, or to remind him of better times, because he's chucked it, he's lost faith with this year's competition. Just remind him of what he could be missing out on. Send him all the greatest World Cup memories. What springs to mind? I think we mentioned it earlier. For people of our age, or my age, my generation, Zidane, headbutt, Materazzi, Panenka's a penalty off the bar, last ever game, sent off, walks past the World Cup trophy. How do you top that?
Zidane again scoring two in the final against Brazil. The whole controversy around Ronaldo the night before the final, everybody tuned in, of course, we were part of that World Cup. That was the one that stuck out for me. That's when Zidane really came onto the scene as the exceptional player, because Euro 96, he was built up to be the next best thing, and he didn't quite hit the heights. And then 98, he was amazing.
I mean, Hugh, you'll be of a different generation. There are loads. What are you giving us? Archie Gemmell?
Brilliant.
Well,
Diego
Gemmell.
Armando Maradona.
Who Archie Gemmell, who dribbled round Wim Jansen to score that goal. The opening ceremony in Seoul, South Korea, in 2002 will live with me, because I thought, I've never felt so far away from home, ever.
And it was atmospheric, chilling even. And it was wonderful. But I thought, oh, I'm standing here in Seoul, South Korea.
I mean, this is the thing. These could be the types of moments that you'll miss. What if we get another hand of God? No, I mean, VAR will just come and clean it up. But
listen, I'm by with this, right? I thought the players in our day were better than the modern day players in the World Cup.
Oh, behave.
You kidding on?
What?
You absolutely kidding on? Gerd Müller, Beckenbauer, Rivellino, Jorginho, go back to Maradona, you go to all the greats of Germany. Müller.
You said that already, twice, so you've run out of players already.
I'll tell you what,
tragically, while he is in a very, very poor way, I remember 1958.
Really?
Yep, the window, the top flat window in a tenement building in Partick, and my father shouting me up, come on up and see this. We were playing football on the street, World Cup final, and there's Pelé, a teenager, and he became ours, people of my generation, he became ours. I watched him in that final, and because he was young, and everyone looked, people who were 29 looked 89 then. But
every team had superstars, Hugh.
Yeah.
Absolute superstars, and that's the difference now. You didn't have the wee guy out in the right running round in circles five times trying to flick every ball. You know, you had real proper players.
It's just such an old guy mentality. Neymar's a superstar. Do you know what I mean? Ronaldo,
well,
Messi,
they're
all there. They're superstars.
For every superstar you mention in this World Cup, I'll give you two. Right, in my World Cups.
Exactly, but see all those guys you mentioned? They didn't all play at the same World Cup. You've just basically named every good player.
That was a 74 I've rattled off there.
A modern day moment, says Andrew McLean. Yesterday, Cavani pushing over the VAR monitor. See, that wouldn't be possible old World Cups.
What about a lad punching the dugout?
Lukaku.
What a right hook that was.
It's not bad, yeah. Ricky Hatton would have been proud of that.
Roberto Martinez coming back to live in Motherwell now, do you think?
Yeah, maybe.
There's a wee flat next to me.
The local area. What about, this featured in the lockdown quizzes we did, didn't it? What about Roger Miller?
And dance.
Celebration. Would that be one of your favourite World Cup moments?
Nice movements.
Or remember Bebeto, the old Bebeto one, rocking the cradle. That was amazing. What do you mean? That was one of the most iconic celebrations in World Cup history.
You guys need to really get
that was 94. That was, by the way, his memory might be a bit jaded.
It was when everybody joined in.
I bet you did that.
Never.
You and who else was in that Wraith team at that time?
Never.
Craig Brewster.
You and Jason Dare. Stevie
Crawford. I was like Crawford Ronaldo celebrations, all about me.
And
stay away.
Roberto Baggio's missed penalty.
Yeah.
Diana Rossi's penalty.
Oh yeah.
If you want to throw that into the mix as well. Terry Butcher with the bloody head, is that a World Cup or is that
a qualifier?
Is that a qualifier
against that one? Was it?
Yes, Peter Lorimer's volley against Ayer. Remember that, Hugh?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Joey Jordan scored.
They wouldn't get back for the wall.
I'll never forget Joe Jordan, the only Scot ever to score at three World Cup finals. The qualifier against Czechoslovakia when Joe scored to take us to the 1974 World Cup, Hampden that night. No transport available. Walked into town. What a feeling. Scotland at a World Cup.
How many World Cups have you been in, Hugh?
I've only been to three, but on three on three different continents. France in 98, Japan in 2002, and before that, 94 in USA.
That's why
he's called Shingo Shug or something.
Shinjuku.
Shingo Shug. That's the Christmas version.
Gaza's tears. Would that be a famous World Cup moment?
Yeah, when it gets to sight.
Lineker does my head in.
Gary Lineker. He's pointing to the bench saying, he's on the edge. We've got another one of these.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Ayr 2, Wraith Rovers 0. Josh Mullen, a second for him, a second for Ayr. And it looks like the Gordon Dalziel derby will be won by the home side.
Ayr will stay top. And I told you, Dazzler, no more goals at Hampden.
Still early, Hugh.
Subconsciously, the foot has come off the pedal.
Yeah, well, Queen's Park are about to make a couple of changes. Andrew McLean suggesting the guys coming off might go straight up the tunnel to try on their Elvis and Banana Man costumes.
They will be. They'll be saying to the gaffer, "Look, all right, V, just get a shower, just kickstart things."
They all done that one, didn't we? Oh,
get the
that.
Food in for the bus. Oh. Get everything ready.
Oh. I was enjoying your favourite World Cup moments before we were interrupted.
Only three. Who says I would have loved, or I still would love to go to a World Cup. Just to experience the atmosphere.
Which country
around.
Would you pick, Mark? Because you're quite...
Which country? I would like to go to the next one. I'd like to go to USA and Canada and Mexico, get it as well. So yeah, I'd love to go to that. So hopefully Scotland get there.
Gabriel's throwing in Marco Tardelli's goal celebration in the final, 1982.
Oh, yeah, like
remember that?
Well done, Gabriel. No. Yes. When he was running away with it.
Oh, right, yeah.
Passion.
That was wonderful.
That's decent. I like that. That's a good suggestion. We'll add that to the list. Mm-hmm. We've already done Roger Miller. Somebody else.
Still for me. Not that I'm bitter, but Edson Braffide in the World Cup final. Right, hold on. Right, because there
did
was a moment.
Just quickly, did you see those tongue in cheek comments you made about Edson Braffide? Like somebody picked up, there was an article written about them.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. Mark Wilson,
lazy journalism.
So at former teammate or something.
Well, that might be in the paper as well.
See,
see the bit, there was a bit in that game where he's playing left back and a big switch of play comes and he's running trying to get to his man. He takes his eye off the ball and the ball hits him in the back of the head and falls to the Spain player. And I just thought that sums this up. I wanted to switch the TV off at that point.
What about not going back too far, actually, but it's just came back almost full circle. What about Suarez? Deliberate handball on the line, sent off, stands at the side, watches Ghana miss the penalty.
That's right, yeah.
That's nasty, innit? That's the dark arts.
Super.
And it comes back to, it comes back around and bites them this year.
There have been some brilliant moments. There have been some unbelievable. And this is what you could miss out on. Yeah, you could miss out on some of these if you turn your back on this tournament.
Have you noticed we're talking about the past World Cups, excitement, the players?
Oh, yeah, we're going back miles to think about Luis Suarez.
Right, but we're not really speaking about this one. Come on, Gordon.
This is the point. This is what I'm trying to illustrate. If you've turned your back on the World Cup, you might miss the next iconic
moment. But let's be honest,
I
think there's a lot of people not really enjoyed this World Cup, let's be honest, with the standard of football in the game. How many nil-nils did we have in round one?
Quite a few.
Right, okay.
It's got better though.
It's got to get better, Mark.
It's livening up.
Yeah, the last 10 minutes when you have to throw players on and go attacking, of course it's got to liven up. It's got
these
to get
could
better.
Be, this collection of games coming up to the final could be the greatest set of games, and you'd still
and
say at the end.
You're watching the Coronation Street omnibus instead.
You'd still say at the end,
let's
Gordon, it was
voice.
A rubbish World Cup because he just remembers the start and that's it. You'll never change your mind.
First impressions.
What about Harald Schumacher, Hugh? Would that count as I was going to say one of the great tackle. Moments. I don't know about great, maybe memorable. You can't call that a tackle, can you? 1982.
Was that the goalie?
Yeah,
come flying out, yeah.
Do you open your window on Christmas morning and shout to the children to get off your grass?
No, because I don't have any.
Ebenezer.
Let's check in on that teaser, by the way, Hugh. Yeah. Remind us of it.
I have played alongside Paul Telfer and Stephen Presley. I've been managed by Roy Hodgson and Gordon Strachan. I was taken off in an FA Cup final, but played in and won a Scottish League Cup final. I also have the same number of letters in my forename as there are in my surname. Who am I?
Bailey thinks it's George Burley.
No.
Lee Hughes has gone for Joseph Ledley to balance up the numbers.
Not even Joe
Stuart
Ledley.
Ferguson thinks it's Gary Holt.
No.
And TJ is almost certainly at it because he says Jan Veniger of Hesselink, which it clearly is.
Are we getting
not.
A clue with the letters? No.
See,
numbers.
I take it that's significant. It's well recognisable in the name, or if you just flung that
it's
in.
Just, it's a fairly it's a random final. Clue. Yeah. I must
right,
say.
Okay.
It's a piece of whimsy.
Yeah. So we're not going further with how many letters.
No. It just happens to be a fluke. The guy's surname is the same number of letters as his forename or Christian name.
He's one of these guys that if I was to say his nationality,
yeah,
you would
probably,
instantly get it because his nationality became a bit of a talking point in a roundabout way. That's all I can say on that cryptic clue. If you know who it is already, you'll totally get that, what I just said. Yeah. But maybe it is a bit more cryptic. I'm looking at the look in your face.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Not doing anything for you.
I'll go positions.
Rather than the good clue that Gordon's just gave you.
Because I'm struggling here. Have you noticed lately in these sort of a quizzes, not quizzes, a teaser, that Hannah and the postie never really get involved
now? Stay quiet now, do they?
Have you noticed that?
USA go round the goalkeeper, but it's cleared off the line. I'm not sure if it was going to end up in the net. Was that... I'm thinking about the clearance from the Netherlands. It was a terrible back pass.
What a horrendous touch though round the goalkeeper. He's put himself too wide. Actually, he'd done well to get the finish on target. But, oh, what a chance. This game has been excellent. One of the best games I've seen in this World Cup.
Mario, you're making that up because you've hardly watched it.
I've been glued to it.
Another sub for USA. They... Celtic fans, I'm sure Hugh would say, "Ah, see, you leave Cameron Carter-Vickers
out."
Yeah. This is what happens to you. He was good in the last game, hasn't played. They're 2-0 down, and you would rather they were there and winning things and adding to their transfer value and all the rest of it and feeling good. But he'll be up the road shortly.
He'll be at Lennox Town on Monday morning.
And there's two weeks today until Celtic play again, so he'll be back, won't he?
That's always something that I find interesting. That, you know, when you get put out, are you instantly back the next day? Are you checking at your hotel? Do you have to? Is it like, oh, they might not be checking at their hotel?
Yes, they have pulled one back. What a game this is.
Oh, it's amazing.
Strange circumstances. It was across the face of the goal. I think there was a touch, a flick. I think it maybe came off a Netherlands defender as well. It then looped up high over the head of the Netherlands goalkeeper, and it ends up in the back of the net. A very strange goal, but it's game on. Netherlands 2, USA 1.
What a finish for 15 minutes of regulation time, and then in this World Cup, there'll be 35 minutes of time added on.
How's that one in?
Look at the quality in that goal.
That guy needs to put the lottery on tonight. That is the luckiest finish I've ever seen, because he almost scuffs the ball. Oh my.
I think he's made that.
This is a lad that's just taken a bad touch. Around the goalkeeper, right?
He's basically got a bit ahead of the ball. As the ball is cut across the face, he's a bit ahead of it, so he sticks his foot out behind him and it clips his toe, flies up into the air and loops over the goalkeeper. A million to one of that happening again.
It's looped over behind. I don't know how it's looped over behind him. How the ball's moved that way.
Have you ever taken such a bad touch that it's ended up over the goalkeeper's head? And
I've never scored something like that. It's incredible.
Wow.
That is incredible.
Yeah, maybe Cameron Carter-Vickers won't be back on Monday morning. We'll soon see. But there we go. Mark, I guess they do head home pretty soon.
Oh, they're in here.
They're in here.
Here's Big Righty.
Oh, what a game this is!
Oh,
yeah, see, he's livening up now.
Was there not some sort of story? Might even just be speculation about Belgian players getting separate flights home or something.
Where they really
falling out? Or something.
It does fascinate me. Like, did they have to have everything packed? Did they have to take it to the order?
Who cares? No,
I think it's quite. And then says,
is that where you are in your life? I wonder if they've got their stuff packed.
Well, if they go straight to the stadium, to the airport, of course not.
It's not like Love Island. We need to bring your case.
I'm a celebrity. You've got the
Belgium. Your checkout time's 11, please.
I think they'll be allowed to go back to their hotel room if that's what you're asking.
I think they should just be ejected. If you get beat,
your case is in the car park.
Apparently it's some sort of tweet. I don't even know how true it is. It's got 45,000 likes, right enough, but that could mean anything on Twitter. 5 Belgian players booked earlier flights to fly home separately from their teammates.
You don't read much into that, do you?
What do you mean?
Yeah, maybe just want home earlier and a different flight. And
Gareth Bale flew home separately from the rest of the Welsh squad. That's
he would have went
he's
first class. Though.
Yeah, he's a way to play golf, but usually you would fly home together, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
fly
you would
together.
Think so.
It's a World Cup.
Yeah, but you might be flying to a different destination, obviously.
All back to the same. But see, that sums you up as well. He just want to go himself.
I wouldn't want to go in the first place too long. You'd be home to be out early, wouldn't you?
You'd go for the bonus money, fake an injury, and then get back.
Yeah, I'm off.
Look, Hugh, for a lot of the big clubs, it's a drop in the ocean. I'm not sure it's a game changer for Celtic either, but I think they're up to about £1 million for their players who've been out there. Yeah. You know, the longer they're the longer they're there, the more money you get, the more players they've got. I think last I saw Celtic up to about £1 million. Mm. So there you go. In very simple terms, does that cover a third of the transfer fee for Alistair Johnson? You know, that would be the way you would look at these things.
Easy money. Whichever way you look at it, easy money.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. You told me.
Even at the Euros. So every Scotland player that went away, obviously with my own biases, that's why it was seen as it was great that Stephen O'Donnell and Declan Gallagher went as well, didn't he?
Did they get a cut of it, Gordon, the player?
No.
Who pays that? I think
it's like a FIFA thing. Oh, is it FIFA? Almost, right. I think. Fraser will correct me for sure. Fraser will provide the info whilst I give you this.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
It's an equaliser for Airdrie in our League One featured match. It was Callum Smith. It was cut back, slid it past the keeper, and we've got game on here, 1-1 between Falkirk and Airdrie. Producer Callum, straight in. 230,000 for Dundee United so far.
Of course, yeah.
That's okay.
Well, to Dundee United, 230 grand is more than.
Here's a question.
It is to Celtic in relative terms.
Did you get half pay for your time you were with Scotland? Do you get paid if you're an international now?
I don't know. If you're doing it,
well, to be fair, you
does anybody at SFA? I'm talking about
the guys that actually contributed.
35 minutes I did wearing in the Carling Cup.
Wearing a tracksuit doesn't count.
Listen, we won that trophy, so. Did we win that trophy, actually?
That's an interesting one. I wonder if the international players get paid.
I think they're on enough money, as it is.
I thought we were getting other goals.
Oh, we have.
There we are. It looks like Lennox it will be the Netherlands going through. It's Netherlands 3, USA 1. And there we are, if we're looking for a Scottish connection.
Yep.
Go on then. What's the name of the guy that scored?
Dumfries.
QOS. He has scored. He set up the first two, and now he's scored the third as well. Fantastic.
Evening taking your approach
for
here.
Him. Yeah. Denzel Dumfries. What a name.
Poor defending. Look at the line in the back four there. Ridiculous.
He's got all the time in the world. I'm not quite sure what the left back's doing.
No.
Oh.
The big bright orange jersey might have given it away, but he's all alone. And there we are.
The only thing I did like, right, and I don't think you'll agree with my cosy tradition, I love the blue strip with Brazil. I like that.
That's always their away sort of colour, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Mm. You like that one, Mark?
Not really. No, I like the yellow one.
Great, that was a good conversation.
See, just on that goal there, you know, we wondered if Carter Vickers would play, and Zimmerman's in there, and you look at that goal. Zimmerman's a centre half, and he's allowed his left back to come in and mark the player standing right beside him, and he puts it away. I don't think he's had a particularly good World Cup. When Carter Vickers came in, he showed up pretty well. So surprising. I think he's got a big future for the USA going forward.
Kelty Hearts 2, Peterhead 0, Nicky Lowe's penalty. Fraser Wishart says the Scotland international team only get paid if they qualify for finals.
Oh,
so there you go.
They don't get paid.
Well, they did qualify for the last Euros, remember? It would have been an uplift in there. Any more goals going in at the moment? I don't think so. None in our featured matches. Certainly that last one was that equaliser.
You've certainly called the Hampden one right, Hugh.
Yep.
I've got to give you credit for that.
Yeah, halfway to Newcastle, aren't they?
Yeah. Mine's firmly on the evening's entertainment ahead. There's nothing worse. See, when do you ever get when boys brought a guitar on the bus?
No.
I had that a few times.
We struggled to bring the boots on.
You boys thought Christmas night out was the show there. Show their work throughout the year at home.
I thought you'd been to that. I thought that would be up your street.
Listen, I did.
Have did a you bring one?
No, I didn't bring one.
You
I would
play
never
the
bring
guitar,
one.
Guitar, don't you?
Oh, I used to dabble in it.
Did you get lessons? Do you actually?
No.
Or do you just go? Ding, ding, ding.
Pretty much, yeah.
Gordon Dale imitates a guitar.
That's a right.
You'd have played
one.
With some famous Scottish guitar playing footballers, Jim O'Brien. You would have played with him.
Very good.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was good enough.
Did Stephen Thompson not dabble?
Stephen Thompson was magnificent. I always remember Stephen Thompson, Craig Easton, going up at a. It was a full Christmas night out put on at a hotel by the club at Dundee United where you brought your partners along, and they went up on stage and done a full set. Well, cover songs, they were magnificent. So they were. Sean Dillon at Dundee United, he was another one who loved
it. So why are you so critical of the idea then, 5 minutes ago?
No, it was good when it was in that room. But see, when you're on the bus, say to Liverpool, and you've got a guy playing guitar for 4 hours, and you're thinking, right,
just give it a rest.
Aye, put the guitar away.
Maybe chuck that out the window.
Aye.
On the way down,
get the tunes on, get GBX on. GBX will be on that Queen's Park bus.
Oh, it's an absolute guarantee.
Until the reception
on the way to Newcastle. The Christmas party season, I'm sure he'll be well booked.
Oh,
he was telling us last night how busy he is. He'll
busy
be
man, isn't he?
He'll be out and about.
Must be exhausted come January, him. Santa.
Let's check in on the teaser, please, Hugh.
Yes. I have played alongside Paul Telfer and Stephen Presley. I've been managed by Roy Hodgson and Gordon Strachan. I was taken off in an FA Cup final, but played in and won a Scottish League Cup final. I have the same number of letters in my forename as there are in my surname. Who am I?
Slinky Jerry thinks it might be Steve Guppy.
Think again.
What else have we got? Sly Sports News says Keith Curl.
Well, good try, but
Keith Curl never played in Scotland, did he?
Billy Nichols says Andy Fye.
No.
And Sandy Logan's counting's a bit off. Charlie Adam.
No, not Charlie.
It is not, right. We'll give you another couple of minutes and we'll do the answers to that. Netherlands 3, USA 1 in the World Cup. Queen's Park 4, Hamilton 0. Ayr United still leading 2-0 against Raith Rovers. So they're looking comfortable there. Arbroath Morton still poised 1-1. And Cove still leading Partick Thistle by a goal to nil as well. Falkirk Airdrie is level in League One. Don't forget, the open line will be here in about 20 minutes time. That's when it's your chance to have your say. So if you're a fan of a team that's playing this afternoon, why not pick up the phone and let us know what you made of it. And if you're a Premiership fan and you're sitting waiting patiently for the return, again, pick up the phone. Celtic fans, you've made a new signing today in Alistair Johnson. What do you make of that? You might want to call in and let us know.
Just watch one of the, we're talking about great World Cup moments, but one of the worst overhead kicks you'll ever see in your life from Zimmerman. Not so good. Tend to agree with you, Daz, when you see moments of quality like that compared to your overhead kick.
Oh, Capello.
Aye.
Classic.
It's the only time I'll probably give you credit, because that did surprise me, seeing that sort of quality come
through.
Why
would it surprise you? I had that in my locker.
Because you were... He never struck me as someone that
had flair,
aye, or had any technical ability. Just I mean that in the greatest respect.
That's why I had to continue light speeches for Fraser's dinner at the end of the season.
But goal scorers always get it. Goal scorers they're always in the headlines. They're in people's minds. So I will just write Gordon Dale
hardest
because
position,
he's
hardest position.
Nonsense.
He was the worst at nights out when it was the players do, because he would store up all the things you'd written about him, and he'd come back and get you all in one night.
Oh, he's an absolute pest. Oh, let's see when he's.
I don't think there's any need for that.
He's had his one beer. Oh,
if Roger Hanna and I saw him coming,
he hates the world after one beer. Oh, what a nightmare, honestly.
Goes after everybody, doesn't he? Everybody's against him.
Man.
David Friel was too young to be exposed to his odd behaviour on a night out, but Roger Hanna and I would see the Dazzler coming.
The post, they wouldn't have accepted it, Hugh.
No.
No.
I'd have put him in his place. Amateur Joe, big centre half with the shin guards and the big band in the heat. Can you imagine him, eh?
We're
imagine playing against him.
We're in the closing stages of Netherlands 3 USA 1. Doesn't look like there'll be much of a shock left there, so Netherlands will progress. Argentina, Australia is a bit later on. That is a great story for us as well, isn't it? Just have all those players that we're familiar with, whether it's Harry Souter, born here, played here, brother of Scotland international. We sort of flirted with the idea on last night's show. Is there a danger he becomes one that people say, he's the one that got away?
We'll need to, I'd wait until we see tonight's game before.
Because, judging him against Messi might not be the fairest barometer mark. But, you know, Jason Cummings, for instance, he played here, everyone was aware. He even had Scotland caps, he got a call up. He's now playing his club football in Australia. It's great that he's there, but I'm not sure there's that many people saying Jason Cummings should be in the Scotland squad.
No.
But given the age of Harry Souter, if he can stay injury free, which will be a big if, you know, if he progresses, if he goes to the English Premier League like people maybe expect him to, you might hear a few of those comments.
I think so. I think when you're playing at this level, that's only natural To have that interest around you. But like the Scotland manager has to judge at the time. He might look back and regret it, and future managers might look back and regret it because his stature and how he's actually grew into this, you know, competitive centre half he is, who can also play a bit as well. So that might just be the case. But John's, like, I saw the two of them at a young age, and John was certainly by far the better player. John's just been, you know, unlucky with injuries, and it's something that's always plagued him. But I'm glad for Harry because he's, I mean, you'll now get to play at a probably higher level than the last 16 of the World Cup against Argentina.
Do you think he'll be hanging about for a certain number 10 shirt from the opposition
team?
I hope
he does. I hope he does, because he's actually going to be directly up against him, really.
That's isn't the one, he? Well, who knows? Because he drops off a deep these days when you look at the way he tends to play, and he's everywhere. But there'll be a swarm around him, I think, with about 10 minutes to go.
Well, do the superstars do it because they seem to have a careful attitude about themselves? Mbappe wouldn't give his jersey to Jason Cummings. I wonder why.
I don't think Messi's too seriously.
I don't think Messi's your man for swapping jerseys.
But do you imagine the amount of people that are asking him for his jersey?
Yeah.
You know, they'll be standing outside the dressing room.
Maybe Harry Suter will play so well, though, that Messi will just be honoured.
Yeah, there you go.
To share the pitch, and they'll ask for his.
I told you that I was playing against Ronaldinho, and I thought I'm a shoo-in to get his strip at the end. It was all I was thinking about for the last 5 minutes. And then when I asked him at the end of the game, walking off, somebody already asked me before the game.
Who did you get?
Nobody.
Well, who asked him before?
I think it was Stephen McManus, who was playing left centre half as far away from him as I think it was. So
that's that organised.
Got nothing. Is that disappointing?
It's a real hard luck story, isn't it?
The one that got away. Could have sold that for thousands on eBay.
Oh yeah, like
that's the only thing that you bother.
No, it's not, because he's got Kaká's jersey and he found it down the back of his wardrobe the other week. Didn't even know it was there.
You should have that one.
Aye. Anybody want to buy a Kaká jersey?
I know an AC Milan fan who's after that.
I told you can have it.
After hearing it,
you don't have it. There's no such a thing as have it. We'll discuss it after the show.
You're taking commission for the sale.
Right, Hugh, let's round. Hold on, just in case I've missed another goal. I don't think so. Let's round this off if we can.
The second half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Paul Telfer and Stephen Presley. I've been managed by Roy Hodgson and Gordon Strachan. I was taken off in an FA Cup final, but played in and won a Scottish League Cup final. I have the same number of letters in my forename as there are in my surname. I am Antiniemi.
Antiniemi. Now you'll see what I mean about his nationality.
Well done
to Super Mick, who was in third place. Well done, Mick. Dylan Patton, 93, second place. And the winner of the second half teaser, quicker than anyone, was Natalie Anderson. Well done, Natalie. Straight out the blocks. Great Antiniemi knowledge. It's full time. Result of the day at Hampden Park. Andrew McLean.
Queen's Park 4, Hamilton 0, the full-time score at Hampden. A rampant first-half display. His own Coyle side come away with a convincing win. They started the scoring 26 minutes in. Jack Thompson finding Grant Savory at the edge of the box. He took a touch before guiding the ball past Fulton for 1-0. The second, just a couple of minutes later, came from Simon Murray. Boateng's through ball sent him through one-on-one with Ryan Fulton. It was a good finish into the bottom corner for that one. The goals kept coming in the first half. Josh McPake with this one. He cut in into the box on his right foot, fired at a cross goal. That one nestled into the bottom corner. And then Grant Savory added his second and the Spiders' fourth right before the break. Nice build-up play, a few wee flicks involving Thomas and Murray before Savory got the ball in a crowded box and he found the back of the net. Hamilton made changes at half-time. They had to, really. Winter, Owens and Newbury all coming on. And they looked more solid in the second 45 minutes. They didn't create too many chances of their own, but they were definitely better at containing their opponents and stopped it from becoming a huge, huge scoreline. I'm sure the Queen's Park players will now enjoy a quiet Christmas night out in Newcastle tonight. The full-time score here at Hampden, Queen's Park 4, Hamilton 0.
What about Somerset Park then, Roger Hannah?
United 2, Raith Rovers 0. Ayr stay top of the championship tonight thanks to a double from winger Josh Merlin, one in each half to see off a Raith Rovers side who might feel they should have taken something from the game. They were so bright at the start, the Fifers, with a chance after 12 minutes. Big centre-half Conor O'Riordan up from the back and heading over from a corner. Skipper Scott Brown threatened next in 18 minutes. Again, a Raith Rovers set piece. It found him at the back post, but his volley was off target. Then Lewis Vaughan had a shot deflected off young debutant Ayr fullback Finn Eckerpoint and turned round the post by Ayr goalkeeper Charlie Alberson. Ayr scarcely seen as an attacking threat in the opening half hour, but he suddenly came to life when wingers Mullen and Logan Chalmers switched sides. Chalmers firing a long range shot that needed tipped round the post by 8th goalkeeper Jamie McDonald on the half hour mark. And 2 minutes later, the breakthrough, a lovely trick, a step over by Chalmers on the left. He fired across to the back post and there was Mullen steaming in to score from close range. Raith almost found an equaliser straight away, a save by airkeeper Charlie Albinson, and the rebound fired over the top by striker Kyle Connell. Ayr threatened before the break, Eckerpoint in the box this time for a shot pushed out by Raith goalkeeper McDonald. Ayr slightly improved in the second half. Mullen had a shot deflected wide after a fine 1-2 with Dipo Akinyemi, and in 70 minutes Mullen scored to set Ayr, keep them top of the league. Progress down the right hand side by Akinyemi, a decent run, he got to the byline, he picked out the winger on the penalty spot, he headed it back across Jamie McDonald and into the bottom corner. It was enough to secure the 3 points to keep Ayr top. Ayr United 2, Raith Rovers 0.
It's finished at Arbroath against Morton. Fraser Wishart.
Arbroath 1, Morton 1. A really good advert for the championship, both teams going for it from the first whistle to the last, plenty of commitment, excellent defending and two fine goals, one from young Morton winger Lewis McGranton to put his team ahead and equalised by an excellent finish by David Gold. That goal by McGranton took till a stoppage time for it to happen. Arbroath had the first half chances, 4 minutes, Scott Allen, the left foot volley from 16 yards was pushed away to his left by Derek Gaston, that was their best chance of the half, and then came that goal by McGranton. He drove forward from midfield 2 minutes into stoppage time. As the defence backed off, he did a step over and smashed a really good low left foot shot past Gaston. Goalkeeper, no chance. Good finish by the young winger. Dick Campbell took off playmakers Scott Allen and Dylan Tate, brought on Jacobs and Fosu at half time. He was clearly unhappy with his performance, and Fosu had a real impact in the second half, and immediately 2 minutes in he got to the byline on the left hand side, cut the ball back, and then came David Gold arriving late and I smashed the ball really high past the goalkeeper into the net. Another excellent finish by the winger. Morton reacted well to losing that goal, took control of the game. At a penalty claim, Robbie Muirhead header hit Ricky Little on the line. The referee said no to handball claims, and the big striker was inches wide with a 25 yard free kick. It's now back to the way the first half has been played, end to end, plenty of commitment, physicality, neither side able to create too many chances. Excellent defending by both sets of back fours. Robbie Crawford and Morton did have the ball in the back of the net, but was disallowed for offside, much to his frustration. And then Fosu had the chances towards the end to win the game for Arbroath. They came close, the back post header just inches wide. The big striker then hit a fierce shot inches over on the angle, and then excellent chance. The ball fell nicely to him, goalkeeper was off his line. He lobbed Schwake from 18 yards, but the ball was too high and nestled onto the top of the net. A really enjoyable 90 minutes, a draw, a fair result in the end, I think. Full time at Gayfield, Arbroath 1, Morton 1.
Let's go to League 1, Falkirk Stadium. Falkirk against Airdrie was watched by Gabriel.
Yeah, and it ended 1-1 at full-time. Gordon Kai Kennedy's lovely first half strike was cancelled out by Callum Smith's late leveller, which means the Burns dropped to third in their League 1, and explains all of the unhappy faces on the fans flooding out of this Falkirk Stadium. The first chance of the game came 10 minutes in, and it was actually for Airdrieonians. It was their only chance of that half. Dee McMaster broke through, he could have cut it across but was well within his right to take the shot on, and it was a good low save from Hogarth. But then Falkirk got on top. They couldn't find that final ball, but they were camped on the edge of the Airdrie area, and they broke the deadlock in the 26th minute. It was a great goal. The ball came from the Falkirk centre halves over their opposing numbers, and Kai Kennedy controlled it as it came over his shoulder, fired it left footed across the goal, a hint of offside, but no VAR here of course, and it was a wonderful finish. Half time, a deserved lead for Falkirk, but it was a much more open second half. Oliver missed a sitter to make it two for the hosts. He was inside the box, he steadied himself, but he blasted it wide. Then Falkirk started to feel the pressure. They were failing to deal with crosses, and Airdrie were pushing high up, really putting the pressure on. And on the balance of second half play, you must say it was a deserved equaliser when it arrived in the 78th minute. The ball was slid through to Gallagher, who cut it back to Smith, a neat finish across the goal, sliding it past Hogarth. And it turned up in here. Both teams really started to go for it in the last 10 minutes. Falkirk had the better chances in those final few moments. Kennedy forced a low save from Liner. Stephen McGinn, the ball cut back to him. He steadied himself as well, but it was blocked excellently by Frizzle. And then there was a big appeal for a penalty on Allegria in the dying embers of the game, but he really should have struck the ball earlier. It would have been very soft. Full-time here was met with clear boos from the home fans. Falkirk 1, Edrionians 1.
Right, listen to this for the ending to a game. Forget the World Cup, forget the drama. David Friel has the ending of all endings to a game. David Friel, take it away.
Full-time Gordon Cove 1, Partick Thistle 1, a 94th minute equaliser from Jamie Sneddon, the Partick Thistle goalkeeper. Unbelievable scenes here. Pitch invasion at the end. Basically, Cove were on their way to winning. Mitch Megginson's goal, 6 minutes. It looked as if it was game over. Partick Thistle get a corner, 94 minutes. Last action of the game. Stuart Bannigan whips it in. Jamie Sneddon, unmarked, glances the header into the corner. Fans are on the pitch. He's at the bottom of a melee. There was even then a rammy in the centre circle with players from both teams, but Jamie Sneddon has earned a point for Partick Thistle against all the odds. It looked like game over. It looked like Cove on their way to probably a deserved 3 points. They had the best chances. Megginson scores the first goal, and then the second half, Jenny McDonald's clean through. Jamie Sneddon actually made a great save from him. He then made a great save from Louis Longstaff. Thistle did pile on the pressure. It looked as if it was coming to nothing, but he's just walking off in front of me just now. Jamie Sneddon up like a salmon into the corner. Cove Rangers 1, Partick Thistle 1.
Incredible, incredible, Hugh Keevans. A 95th minute equaliser by your goalie. David Friel said there was a good Partick Thistle support going up there. Imagine it, an away day, big day out, just before Christmas. You think you're beaten, and the goalie pops up with a 95th minute equaliser.
I love that. That's classic Partick Thistle. That's what the club's all about, and that's what they should be about. And in the midst of all their internal strife and external demonstrations, they've all got together for a good huddle.
Oh, I love that, Mark Wilson.
I think everybody does. When you see a goalie coming up, or when a team's behind in the 90th minute, everybody always say, oh, get the goalie up for a joke. When it actually comes off, though, and he scores to get his team a point, a tremendous story, that. Brilliant.
And the one thing we know is Ian McCall about there saying master plan. I was in the locker for a goalkeeper to go up there. But as the boys said, the excitement right at the end. And for Partick Thistle fans, long journey up. I'll make the journey a lot sweeter on the way home.
Superb. Right, come on then, over to you. 01419511025 is your chance to have your say on the open line. So come on down. What have you got for us tonight? If you're a fan of Partick Thistle, maybe you want to talk about the goalie scoring, although you might still be invading the pitch just now, so it might be hard to get a hold of you. Arguably result of the day, Queen's Park 4, Hamilton 0. So let's do both sides. Queen's Park fans, is this the year? Are you seriously, are you looking at a promotion charge? You're keeping up that winning run. How good was that today? Let us know. And I'm afraid on the flip side, Hamilton Accies fans, how bad is this getting? How worried are you? 01419511025. Pick up the phone and let us know. And of course, Celtic fans, you're doing your business early. A new signing already, Alistair Johnson, done, signed, arriving at the club soon. How do you feel about that news? 01419511025, and we will take your calls next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here, but they're waiting on you. It's that time of the night where you get involved. You tell us your opinions. You let us know what is on your mind. Were you at a game today? If you're a fan of the Championship, we love to hear from you, because I know how frustrating it must be. Most of the season, you think it's always the same big teams that get spoken about, particularly in this city. Well, let's make the most of this World Cup break then. Are there any Queen's Park fans out there? You still look as if you're flying high. Another very impressive win today. Why not share some of that joy with us? We need to talk to Partick Thistle fans. Your goalkeeper has just scored the 95th minute equaliser. These days do not come around too often. So again, 01419511025. If we're looking for angry, frustrated, upset football fans, they might well come from the greater Hamilton area. A 4-0 defeat at Hampden against Queen's Park. Still bottom of the table. Still really toiling. What is happening? Where is it going wrong? And how fearful are you that actually it turns into League One football next season? Pick up that phone, please, and let us know. And of course, if you want to move away from today's games, we're still reacting all week to the appointment of Michael Beale, and we've had some transfer news today. Celtic have signed Alistair Johnson. £3 and a bit million, Canadian international right back. What do you make of that? Business done early. Is this the end for Josip Juranovic? Still lots to get through, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, I just wonder what else Ange Postecoglou has up his sleeve, because you know, the transfer window is there for him, and he is doing his business early, and he's going into all manner of markets. We've got the Asian market again with Kobayashi, and we've gone Celtic into the MLS, I think for the first time in history, to sign a Canadian, Alistair Johnson. So where is Ange going next? Is it all over, or does he have another player in mind? I just wonder, with speculation over Giakoumakis, I wonder if he has a striker that he knows of somewhere, or he and Mark Lawwell know of somewhere.
Yeah, they certainly have, they dabbled in that MLS market, didn't they, a couple, but I don't think they actually went on to play much for the first team. Mark, between that big signing news today and big action on the pitch this evening as well.
Yeah, again, the Championship never fails to keep us entertained. The amount of times the positions change in the league. In Queen's Park, I fancied Queen's Park today, and the charge still goes on for them. I think they become real promotion favourites at this rate. Even if they manage to get that playoff spot, you would look at them having a good enough structure to put a real challenge ahead. Kind of went under the radar, but a good result for Dundee away at Inverness today, which takes them up a place. But air consistent, winning games, like I said, that they're expected to win, the it's a sign of champions.
Any one of the four for me, Gordon. I think it's still early, obviously, in December, but they look like their most consistent. Ayr, Morton, Dundee, Queen's Park. They've got good squads, good players. You know, Dundee's went under the radar a little bit. A lot of expectations up at Dens of them getting back up into the Premier League. So, and it's a good result against Inverness. But all the drama today was the Jags fans. It was worth the trip up to see the 95th minute equaliser from their goalkeeper.
Incredible. 01419511025. Come on, if you're a fan of Partick Thistle or Hamilton Accies or Queen's Park and you're fed up listening to the big teams in Glasgow and the West getting all the coverage, let's use this World Cup break wisely. Come on down, tell us what you made of your team's result today. And if you want to talk Michael Beale or Alistair Johnson, it's the same number, 01419511025, or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Let's hear a bit from Celtic's new boy, Alistair Johnson, speaking to the club's own TV channel. Here's what he had to say upon completing that deal.
Growing up in a British household, Celtic was one of the clubs that, you know, is near and dear to our hearts. And for me, it's one of the biggest clubs in the world. So to hear that this was a team, this was a club that was interested in me, and to see the project that the coaching staff had, and, you know, the progress, you know, this team, this club continues to make, you know, in Europe as well, is, it was really exciting. And for me, when I heard that there was potentially some interest there, I told my agents, hey, look, get this one over the line. This is where I want to go. I'm just buzzing to finally have this done, and just really excited to get over there and get started.
Buzzing to finally have it done, he says. Let's bring in Laurie, who's a Celtic fan. What do you make of that signing on the face of it, Laurie? I know we've not seen him play for Celtic yet, but we got a little glimpse at the World Cup.
Can I thank you for taking my call this evening? And also, good evening, panel.
Good evening.
Alistair Johnson and Kobayashi is proof of the fact that, as a Celtic fan, our club is getting our business done early. And as Ange says, you know, we don't stop. You know, and you know, I've heard a lot of Rangers supporters expressing a lot of optimism about the new appointee, Beale. I'll be honest with you. There is no cringing in terror or shaking with fear in the east end of Glasgow, no wailing or gnashing of teeth. Bring it on, I think was the old Rangers mantra. That's what I've got to say about that. Gordon, you mentioned earlier on about your World Cup memories. Mine is one of 1978, pre-Argentina. And I remember Alan McLeod saying that we'll bring back a medal of some description, either first, second, or third. And he never done any scouting on the opposing teams, Iran, Peru or Holland. But you know what? The whole country was swept along in a tidal wave of euphoria. The other thing I would say, Gordon, is that there was a caller on yesterday, Paul from Edinburgh, and he was talking about Peter Lowell, rather, in very disparaging terms. And I couldn't quite understand that. A man who presided over 29 domestic trebles when he was at the helm, and we also reached the Champions League last 16 on no fewer than three occasions. The panel's thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, a lot to get through. I think we'll leave the World Cup memories because you sent shivers down Keevan's spine. I don't know if he wants to relive it, as euphoric as it was at the time. Start at the end there, Hugh. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of negativity, shall we say, on last night's show about the return of Peter Lawwell, this time to the chairman's role rather than chief exec. Laurie, though, putting up the defending case, if you like.
I thought Paul from Edinburgh was totally out of step. He said at one point that he didn't care about 10 in a row. Well, he must have been the only Celtic supporter, man, woman or child, who did not care about 10 in a row. It was a devastating disappointment for the Celtic fans. Laurie is quite right to highlight that Peter Lawwell has been incredibly successful at Celtic. He has his critics. He's had his down moments. He's made some serious mistakes as chief executive of the club, but I think that he is a good appointment for the club. You know, you can't hang a man out to dry because he had one bad season.
We're also sort of rehashing a lot of the arguments that were put forward, Mark, when Peter Lawwell left his role as chief executive. For a start, he's returning as chairman, right? So on the face of it, the role should be, and underline that, should be entirely different. He's there to lead the board in that regard. He's not there to implement the same day-to-day running of the club as he did previous. Now, I get it. I get that he's Peter Lawwell. He's not just any other chairman, and people are very cynical and say, ah, but we know we still have a big say. Fine. But there is that. But also, then, you know, when we talk about trophies won under him, he was the chief exec, right? So you can take a bit of credit for the good things, you can take a bit of blame for the bad things, but that's before we even get to talking about players or managers. He would also have been in charge of spending money, getting money in, running the club's academy, setting up all sorts of things. So to talk about, even to talk about a chief exec in trophies won or lost terms, this is probably one of the only clubs and one of the only places in the footballing world you would do that.
Yeah, and I think it's because the argument with Peter Lawwell and the you know, Celtic fans maybe having a problem with him in the past was down to transfers, and that was always something that remained close to the Celtic fans' hearts. They're not getting transfers in to challenge to get into the Champions League, where you make a lot of money and the glamour's there, and they put that at Peter Lawwell's door. I can never remember many managers taking any flack over transfers slipping through the net. And
again, that's
elsewhere.
What comes with the perception that you do everything at the club, isn't it?
Yeah. And look, I was there under him. I knew the role that Peter held there. I knew the influence he had at the club. When it came to contract time, he was a stubborn man to deal with, but he did it right. I thought he was a hugely successful part of Celtic. I just wonder how he will adapt to the role when he comes back in, because like I said earlier on, it's not like he's been at this job for 10 years and he's coming back just out of retirement and he's got a different outlook in life and he's want to slow the pace down. I still think he'll be pretty active. And I mean, where is the line, the chief exec to the chairman? Now, the chairman, when I was there at the club, very rarely saw the chairman at all. I mean, we used to see him on TV at the AGM and things, and you get bits and pieces.
Well, that's
or
kind of how it should work. I mean, take Ian Bankier as an example. I know he's not Peter Lawwell. Yeah.
This city's unique, and by unique, I mean crazy. Peter Lawwell got the blame for appointing Neil Lennon as manager when early one morning Brendan Rodgers was off to Leicester City. Neil Lennon fulfilled the remit. He completed the championship that Brendan Rodgers had started, and then the following season he won another championship. He, Neil Lennon, and Peter Lawwell then had an awful season thereafter. But fans are too quick, too keen to jump on Peter Lawwell. The man has been very successful at Celtic, and as I say, he has had his down moments, but in a club of that size, there will be ups and downs.
Laurie, you said the signing of Alistair Johnson was proof that Celtic were doing their business early. Are you doing the same as lots of people with two and two together? Does Josip Juranovic get sold in this window, or how does that situation play out?
You're likely, Gordon, because if you look at it rationally, you've got Ralston And you've got the new Canadian import. So it would appear to me that it's inevitable that he's going to be going. And I think there's a possibility Giamakis will also be going. However, I am confident that if these guys are going, clearly Big Ange will have replacements thought about who are due to come in.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. I mean, if you're looking at Juranovic's situation, the replacement supposedly has been brought in before he's even left, Mark. It will be interesting. If you're Anthony Ralston right now, I mean, let's be honest, is that just how footballers work? You've got to look after yourself. You're saying, my goodness, I hope Josip Juranovic gets sold here, otherwise where am I in all of this?
I've been in exactly the same position. I mean, I've been at the club where at the end of my time, it was Adam Matthews was brought in the summer. Then in the January window, Lustig came, and I'm standing there going, well, obviously that's my time at an end. And I've been there when Hinkle was brought in and Chad Urie was brought in. And I thought, there was a stage I thought, well, maybe I'll get a shot at being the out and out right back. But there was always someone there to push me. And I think it works out best for the player. So if I was Ralston, I wouldn't be concerned too much. However, if it comes end of January and Juranovic is still in the building, I'd then start thinking, how much game time am I actually going to get
here? This is the bit I'm always just interested in, Gordon, because it's so behind the scenes, we'll probably never know. Since the day Juranovic arrived, whether it's because he's very good and therefore he's getting interest, whether his agent's been quick to point that interest out, whatever it may be, there's always been talk about other clubs. So I wonder what do Celtic know right now? Do they just think there's going to be interest? Do they know there's going to be interest? Or actually, further than that, do they know there's a button that they press? Is there a club that's right there ready to go in January and that's why they've brought Alistair Johnson? Or is it a bit more up in the air than that?
No, I think there's no doubt that Celtic know there's interest. Let's be honest here, he's a quality player. He's still in the World Cup. He's played very well in the games that I've watched, Gordon. So your stock rises. His agent obviously is working very hard for him, getting that interest, and letting Celtic know about it. If they're bringing in a player of the quality of Johnson, now, let's be honest as well, he's got big shoes to fill because Juranovic would be a big loss. But I like the way David Friel summed it up. You know, he's got better height. You get good pace. He's a midfield player that can play right back. And that's the way, obviously, Postecoglou likes his fullbacks to get in there, feel comfortable. But you go back to the lad Ralston. He's been absolutely brilliant since Postecoglou come in. So he'll see an opportunity there to challenge. But just going by the fact they're bringing this guy in so quickly, then you would see that Juranovic is probably on his way up.
We need to pull David Friel up about this, Mark, because yeah, he's taller, but I think he's only about 3 or 4 inches taller. Is that enough to
still taller?
I wasn't getting the posties.
I liked his description. Midfield player going into right
that,
back.
No, that was interesting. Yeah, that, but I wouldn't go in.
Well.
I wouldn't be heightest and start saying he's a better player because he's taller. But the midfield bit was quite interesting. Comfortable in the ball, it would suggest. As good as he's, or as eye-catching as he's been this World Cup, it does not necessarily mean that he'll come in and be outstanding for Celtic. You kind of lose sight that Juranovic was a brilliant signing for a couple of million pounds who has been one of the best performers for Celtic out of all these signings that Postecoglou's brought in. It's quite often the forward players will get the credit, but Juranovic is a reason why he's getting, you know, noticed by other clubs and other clubs want to buy it, because he's a top right back and Celtic are losing one. So Johnson, if he comes in, he's got to be of similar quality.
See, I didn't know there was such a divide, because I assumed most Celtic fans liked him, and maybe they do, but then we got one call, didn't we, last week, said it was
I was listening.
The worst defender at the club. Yeah. Get him out.
I was bizarre.
No, did you?
I was listening. It was a bizarre call.
His name was Paul. If you're listening, Paul, the floor is yours.
I never quite got that, because if you're looking at him performance wise, assist wise, even goals, the composure he brought, he's been terrific. So don't get Paul's point on that one.
Thanks to Laurie. Let's hear a bit more from that interview with Alistair Johnson speaking to Celtic TV.
Ange was the one that really sold me on it. You know, I think for every single footballer, again, you want it to be the perfect fit, and you want to go somewhere where not only that you feel like you're a part of something, you feel like you wanted, but at the same time, it's a good sporting fit as well. And based on what he said he's looking to do with this squad, for this club, you know, in the next couple of years, it felt like a perfect fit. You know, he's looking for young, driven players who want to take that next step and compete at the highest level, competing in the top stages of Europe. And for me, that was something that just kind of called out to me, and it felt right. From everything I've heard, he's a top manager. His whole coaching staff, he's just got glowing reviews from everyone I've talked to. So that was another thing that was a big selling point for me on Celtic, and just absolutely made it a home run for me to make the moves to Celtic Park.
Made it a home run.
He doesn't realise he's coming to steal that line. Is it a Kevin Bridges line? He's coming to the city that sells lots of baseball bats but very few baseballs. So it's entirely different.
I've got to say, Celtic coaching team or scouting team have got an extraordinary talent for finding players who had a family who supported them or grown up.
He sounds so cynical. You should leave that stuff to Hugh Keevan. I suppose though, Hugh, Celtic is a fairly attractive proposition just now. If you've got a manager like Ange Postecoglou who is signing players, making them better, they've obviously won trophies last season, top of the league at the moment. Champions League campaign wasn't great, but they were there and they were in it. So you can see why, if you're in the MLS market, a Canadian player, the Japanese market, Kobayashi, that's an attractive proposition right now, isn't it?
And it'll do no harm for jersey sales in Montreal. This is the modern world now. I can understand why Gordon Dalziel can't wait for the World Cup to finish and for football to resume in the Premiership here, because here we have Kobayashi, Johnson, others will follow at Rangers as well, because Michael Beale must get in new players in the January window. And there are 23 games left to play. In the words of the old song, let's get this party started.
01419511025. If you've got thoughts on Alistair Johnson or maybe Michael Beale, that was the other big story for Glasgow's Big Two this week, please share them. And we're still looking for you fans of Championship teams. Come on, Queen's Park, Partick Thistle, Hamilton Accies, where are you? We're going to hear from the managers soon, so why not get in touch?
Games are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel are here. We can talk Alistair Johnson signing for Celtic. We can talk Michael Beale on the week he was appointed. We can talk about anything you like. And of course, it would be nice to talk about the games that happened today. I'm already thinking ahead to Monday night. It's going to be the easiest award ever when we talk about, you know, your individual performer of the weekend. Jamie Sneddon, the Partick Thistle goalkeeper, scoring in the 95th minute. Equaliser. Too easy. Up Hugh Keevans.
So who gets that one then? Roger Hanna or Andy Halliday?
I don't even know who's on Monday night. Is that Andy Halliday? Yeah, producer Callum's nodding as if, of course, it's Andy Halliday. I thought Hearts were in Marbella, so I'm assuming they're back. But I'm not sure if they are. You know, you might want to look into that. By the way, 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB.
How will all that sunshine be on his new napper?
Well, surely you have the old baseball cap on.
Phrase burnt carpet.
That will do wonders for the growth, will it not? Just spray it before
spray
you go.
Water, wee bit of sunshine.
On you go.
He'll come back right down there.
Interestingly, doesn't look like he's the only one that's
Robbie
either,
Nielsen,
that's either had it or is preparing to have it. Because have you noticed Robbie Nielsen shaved his head?
Oh, is he the same?
Well, he shaved his head.
And he's fond of his locks. He's always one that's had long, flowing locks, and he shaved it off. Has anything just now as you rub your bald patch?
Do you know something? It's at the back. I'm not really concerned.
Yeah. It's funny.
But lawyers can see it.
And a bit, but I can't.
When we spoke about Zidane and the World Cup memories, that's what I thought of. Straight away. Is that who you're modelling yourself on?
No, it's just an age thing.
I don't understand why you're keeping the wee bit at the front.
Tin, I like that.
Because it looks good. It looks modern. Looks a wee bit like Martin Kemp.
Shave some of that off and stick it on that bald patch.
It looks nothing like Martin Kemp,
do you
just
think
for the
so?
Record. No,
a
absolutely
lot of people
nothing.
Have commented
nobody,
on that.
Literally nobody has ever said that to you.
Well,
not
Daz,
a single
Daz.
Person. Anyway,
you do like Martin Kemp. You've mentioned that before.
01419511025.
I'm looking a bit like Noddy Holder in these Christmas adverts.
Right, okay.
By the way, forever, you have, I was going to say ruined, but that's not the right word. You've changed that Christmas song. Anytime I hear it,
yeah,
I just can only hear your version.
Yeah.
Remember he did his Christmas song?
Yeah, Shaking Keevans.
Shaking Keevans a couple of years ago.
It was a big hit.
I can't hear the original version anymore without hearing
it. No, what was so good about that, the many people that joined in with him.
Well, listen.
Yeah. And who made that with him? Was it
Gavin Pearson.
Pearson, brilliant
listen,
production.
The pool of this show, the pool of Hugh Keevans, it's not surprising, is it?
Yeah, brilliant. Honestly, some big names.
Did you hear his big revelation during the week?
No, what's he down now? Come
what's
on.
What's happening then?
Who did you tell his lessons?
Billy Connolly.
No, does he?
I met Billy Connolly's biggest pal in Glasgow. I met him in the supermarket. It's a rock and roll lifestyle. And he said to me, "Begin's listening."
How bad do you feel? Think of the amount of rubbish jokes you tell on this show.
Billy, I can only apologise.
So that bit about you buying two shoes that were different sizes, Connolly will have that the act now.
You must be ashamed.
I'm excited with that. I didn't believe that.
Well, there you are. Anyway, 01419511025.
Billy Connolly, mate.
Right, not quite. We've been talking about Alistair Johnson, Celtic signings, what it means going forward. John is on the line. As a Celtic fan, John, what do you make of the signing? And what does it mean for Juranovic? What do you read into the Giakoumakis stories this week?
Aye, I got a bit of a hard time there, Dazza. So
there's a
couple of boys I spoke to, Man City fans. Dazza says Haaland's the best striker since you, mate. I'll be that.
Thanks, John. Thanks.
Billy Connolly can write that one down as well, John.
I think it's a great sign. I've watched a bit of him at the World Cup, and as I say to the producer there, I think as the end of Juranovic, and as I spoke to you and Martin Gordon before, I'm a big fan of Juranovic, but I think as the end of him. I mean, but if obviously the Giakoumakis, I don't know if it's just paper talk, but I think if he does go, I think Angel signed another centre forward. This one, that you think?
This is the beauty of the signing, Hugh. John says, you know, how good is it when you sign a player that just played at the World Cup? Because
yeah.
Let's be honest, there aren't many Alistair Johnson fans out there.
No.
Now, we've seen him, we've had three looks. It's not like a player that you're completely unheard of. So, is it enough to win you over those three games?
This is the city where three games can make you or break you. But we'll let Alistair Johnson get here and show his worth. But Giakoumakis is the interesting one. Jota and Abada and Daizen Maeda, to a lesser extent, have good numbers when it comes to scoring goals. Kyogo is the man. He is the top goal scorer right now at Celtic Park. But you would like to think, if you're a Celtic fan, that if Giakoumakis did go, Ange Postecoglou and Mark Lawwell would have a ready-made replacement who was the equal of, if not better than, Giakoumakis, because it was handy for Ange Postecoglou. I think back to some of the goals that Giakoumakis scored this season, you know, that amazing one at Perth when Celtic were on the verge of throwing away a couple of points and he up the other end and scored an opportunist goal. Giakoumakis would create a slight problem if there wasn't another name in the door quickly, but I don't think that Ange Postecoglou would allow that to happen.
The thing is, for some Celtic fans, I don't know how many, but I suspect it's a decent number, he's the number one striker at the club. They prefer him to Kyogo. Just, you know, I don't think there's like a great deal in it, but lots of people phone this show and say they think he's the main man. What would your take on that be?
I totally agree with that. I think it's split with Kyogo and Giakoumakis. I think he would be a loss, but he's got a long term contract there. Celtic are in total control of this. They know there's a sort of a disagreement with the contract situation just now, but that can be solved. But I agree with that. Look, Celtic fans will trust 100% with Postecoglou in this transfer market. You look at the business they're getting done there now, they're in the front foot, they're progressing, they're going forward, they're top of the league. I wouldn't be too worried about the Giakoumakis one. I think Juranovic one would be a real big loss, but the hope that Johnston can come in, fill his
shouldn't have got out. It certainly should not have got out that Giakoumakis and his agent had an agreement with the club to better the terms when you've got 4 years left in your current contract. That should be something that's kept in the house. So it's either came through the player or it's came through his agent. Now, I can guess where it's came from.
Yeah.
So I think it's a wee bit naughty in the agent's part that he's made everyone aware of this. And I'm pretty sure Celtic may feel the same about that. They've got a player there who is scoring goals for them, who's playing in the Champions League, and everything is going rosy at the minute in every department for Celtic. And then Ange Postecoglou is coming out of this winter break. And I wouldn't say it's a headache for him, because he seems to shrug off a lot of things, but you never want any player to disrupt things when it's going well. And you certainly don't want their agent to disrupt things when it's going well. So I think everybody will be a wee bit disappointed it's got to this level that we're even chatting about it.
Do you think Giakoumakis is on that in that perfect middle ground between, in that I think Celtic fans like him. They think he's very good. Like I said, for some, they even think he's the number one striker at the club. They don't necessarily want to see him go, but he's probably not done enough yet to be considered irreplaceable, is he? There would still be that belief that you could, that's the important bit, because nothing's guaranteed, that you could upgrade him. You could realistically upgrade him, as good as he is. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, it's not like he's playing every single week, banging in goals for fun. He's a good player. He's a talented player. It could work for Celtic as well. If it comes down to, every player's got his price card. Might get to January and you see a team popping up with an extraordinary bid. The Celtic think, yeah, we can certainly use that money. We can replace him, get an upgrade. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's just a situation that's got out of hand. Mark's right, should have been kept very quiet. But I think that'll be smoothed over.
See, you know what I mean by that, Mark? Because there would be some players through the Celtic, I don't know, take Jota for instance. The Celtic fans aren't daft. They know the sort of market they operate in. Could you realistically upgrade Jota, for instance?
Doubt
probably
it.
Not, right?
No.
Because Celtic have done a brilliant piece of recruitment there.
Yeah.
But it feels like the fans that phone in here, they might love Giakoumakis, they might really want him to stay, but they still admit that, yeah, you might actually, within your budget, be able to upgrade that.
I think so. I think when you see his attributes and what he brought at the start of his Celtic career and how much, you know, what they got him for, you know, you probably would say that that's possible again. Of course it's possible. He came off a rich run of, you know, goal scoring form for his previous team, but it's still a gamble. You know, you didn't know how he would adapt, and he took a wee bit of time to get there. I think the Celtic fans would be confident in the manager. That's a big thing. I think the Celtic fans are confident in this manager that he could pluck someone that we've never even heard of, but he would integrate him into the squad and he'd do just as good a job.
That said, transfers are a tricky old business, Gordon. Maybe not under Ange Postecoglou's watch as such, but you know, it's not unheard of for 5 million or 4 million or whatever to go on a striker or any player for that matter that really don't cut it. It's a very difficult art to get right. The good thing for Celtic is recently it's been more positive than negative examples.
It doesn't matter the price tag, Gordon. It doesn't guarantee success. It could be a low price tag and it could be the best bargain of the season. It could be massive money with massive wages and it turns out an absolute disaster. But I think you've hit the nail right in the head when you say every Celtic fan at this moment in time trust 100% in the manager's judgment.
Thank you very much to John. That was John on the line. Don't forget the Netherlands have gone through against the USA 3-1. I must admit, we're just seeing the USA goal back. I would have been totally fine with the USA progressing, Mark. I'm glad they didn't progress on the back of that goal though. It's one of the luckiest goals I've ever seen. Genuinely
remarkable.
The ball is cut back. The striker goes too far ahead of the ball, so he kind of tries to take a touch behind him. He can only really get a toe on it, and the ball loops up in the air behind him and goes over the goalkeeper and drops into the corner. It's ridiculous.
It's one of the most bizarre goals you'll see at a World Cup. We always remember the great goals or the weird goals that we see in these tournaments. That one will be replayed for a long time in terms of how it happened. But I think the better team progressed today. What a fascinating game of football it was.
That was great, really good, brilliant. Enjoyed
it. If Dyke scored that for Scotland, you'd be saying, great, good. They all count.
I'm not trying to take it off him. The guy on my left
would be claiming he meant that.
But believe me, if Lyndon Dyke scored it, I would still be acknowledging the fortuitous nature of it. My goodness.
Got to put yourself in the position to be lucky.
It would be impossible to try that.
I agree with the dazzler.
You've got to put yourself in there, Hugh.
Yeah. Got to put yourself in and take a terrible touch.
It doesn't matter. You could take a great touch and it could be a fantastic save. He's obviously fooled the goalkeeper. Fooled himself right enough, but
I'm not having that. He's fooled the goalkeeper. He fooled the goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper's rooted to his line.
That sounds like it's something that you meant though.
Look, as a centre forward speaking, if I score that goal, I don't care if MD says it's lucky or
still a centre forward. You're still classing yourself as a centre forward.
Well, as an ex-centre forward,
that's better.
Okay,
thank you. Not a centre forward.
The only thing that would be that you lean forward in the recliner in the centre of the living room when you're trying to get closer to I can hear your voice or whatever it's called on a Saturday night.
Couldn't thank you for a game of football.
Right, let's start hearing the man of the moment. Anyone?
Yes.
Jamie Sneddon.
Yeah.
How often in your long history in this show, Hugh Keevans, have you heard on the show from a goalkeeper who scored a 95th minute equaliser. It can't be often, if at all, but that's what the Partick Thistle goalie did today. It looked like they were heading for a defeat. All the doom and gloom coming back down the road from Cove. Up to pop Jamie Sneddon with the header from the back, and as you can imagine, he was delighted about it.
I think it's the second time I've been up in the opposition box in my life. It's all a blur, to be honest with you. Got the signal for our goalie, Coach Kenny, to go up, so I just went up. No one's picking me up. I sort of went to the back post, I don't know why, and then just sort of arched my way around, and the ball just, I just seen the ball coming to me, and I don't really remember the rest.
Have you ever scored a goal in your life before?
Not since primary school, no.
A header?
No, definitely no. I absolutely hate heading in the ball. I don't think I've ever done it in my life, but boys are saying it's the best header they've ever seen, but I don't know what happened to me.
So when the corner's coming to you, what are you thinking?
It was kind of like coming through the floodlight, so I could barely even see it, and I just remember, honestly, I don't remember much. It's just a blur.
And then the fans are all on you as well?
Aye, I just remember just a big smile coming on my face and just wheeling away. I don't even know what I'd done as a celebration. And then next thing I know, I was just at the bottom of a pile, just trying to keep myself safe. I was waiting for someone to stand on me or someone, but I was just mental. I had everyone shouting in my face, and it was just one of those surreal moments in your life that you'll remember forever.
Yeah, it was coming out the floodlights. It was just a blur. Yeah,
it's like somebody's took over his body for that split second, then left, and he's like, "What's just happened here?"
It just shows you the unbelievable chaos. And that's why fans love it. Like, fans love when the keeper goes up. It's the chaos factor. Because I don't know if you've seen Jamie Sneddon. He's really not tall for a goalkeeper, yeah, at all. So it's not like he's this big 6'8" monster and he comes and towers over everyone. He's really not, like, he's probably of completely average height for an outfield player, even, never mind a goalie.
That's great.
And what's it like come to him
for the Cove Rangers goalkeeper to have lost a goal to a goalkeeper?
Oof, devastating.
I was managing Brechin, remember, and the goal he scored.
Of course, was you it? Were. Freeze. Of course.
The goal he scored.
Your goalkeeper?
Aye.
Oh, it was your goalie. Sterling Albion. That's fine.
Was it?
I remember he did. Sterling Albion.
Yeah, that's right.
He kicked it for his own box.
Oh, so he did. He went over
it. Yeah, up for a corner. Up for a corner's better, isn't
look,
it?
Let me say, as an ex-striker, scoring a goal in the 95th, 96th, away from home, you know the trip, you know how much it means to the supporters, would be brilliant. But for a goalkeeper, yeah, you know, you're jogging up there probably as a goalkeeper and you're thinking, what am I doing running away up here? And all of a sudden, minutes later, you are a hero.
And at the risk of making light of what's obviously a serious situation, Hugh, I just hope they didn't practice it in training yesterday, because of course you're not allowed to head the ball the day before a game.
I'm sure Patrick Dizzle would adhere to the rules.
And even if they didn't, I'm not sure, does the goalkeeper get involved in any heading drills? I can't imagine he does.
No.
But there we go. Brilliant. What a moment. What a day for Jamie Sneddon and the Partick Thistle fans. If you're out there, Partick Thistle fans, I know ones that were at the game, this might be a bit of a stretch because I don't know where you'll have reached by now, but you won't be too close to home. What about any other fans that listened or watched at home? Queen's Park fans, Hamilton Accies, what is going on? Are you fearing the worst? How much longer can this run continue? Pick up the phone and let us know. 0141 951 1025. And it could be you we get on next.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, all here, all waiting for you. If you want to get in touch, they would be delighted to speak to you. It could be about today's football. It could be about something entirely different. Maybe Celtic's new signing today in Alistair Johnson. All week we've been reacting to the appointment of Michael Beale at Rangers. Or something else entirely that I've not even thought of. Maybe even want to talk nonsense about the World Cup. Do that, because that would really annoy Gordon DL, because he doesn't want to watch it. He says he's sick of it, he's fed up. So why not annoy him? 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. If you are just catching up on the World Cup, the Netherlands are through. They're through to the quarterfinals, having seen off the USA. Celtic fans, it means Cameron Carter-Vickers will be on his way home. So barring any complications, you would imagine he'll be absolutely fine to take the field 2 weeks today, actually, when Celtic play their first game back. And later on, what a great story. Australia, with all their Scottish-based or Scottish-born players, taking on Argentina and Lionel Messi. Should Australia get their way, it'll be Messi's last ever World Cup game. There's going to be so much riding on it.
Is this his 1,000th game tonight, or is it?
I think he's getting it.
Is it one more?
One after tonight.
I won't be giving that strip up if it is tonight to Harry Souter. Then he'll be keeping a hold of that. I can't see them going through.
No, it's tonight.
Is it tonight? Nobody's getting that strip. Messi's keeping that one,
and then auctioning it for about £5 million.
Yeah. Well, what did Maradona's strip now go for? A bit.
Anyway,
he recently
right,
so had the ball. It was when at the ball.
We're looking forward
million.
To that later on. Argentina, Australia. Let's hear. Start getting some reaction from some of the managers today. We'll do the good and then the bad. So the good bit is the Queen's Park fans. Come on, what did you make of that 4-0 win against Hamilton Accies? How pleasing was it? Are you aiming high? Is it all about promotion now? Can you maybe even see you winning the league at this stage? Pick up the phone and tell us. Oh, and it couldn't be more different. Hamilton Accies fans, are you worried actually about League One football? Let us know. 4-0 defeat today. Here's Owen Coyle firstly.
Delighted. I think the most important fact is that we're performing well, and that's really important, because I know I keep on saying this, but this isn't really about the here and now. What we've got to do is develop a way of playing that these young players want to engage in. They want to get better at, and hopefully as we cross through the years, we continue to hopefully get a better team. That's the big picture of what we're trying to do. But of course, in the meantime, I'm charged with trying to keep the team in an upward trajectory, which, coming in the back of the playoff, it's been pleasing, but there's so much more to do. I mean, there's some big teams in the league. You look at Squad Dundee's going, United are doing very well, so we just got to keep hopefully performing well, hopefully continue to get better. I mean, come January, might freshen it up again, and then look to bring one or two in we think can help us. So we just want to, as I say, be competitive, but really it's to develop a way of playing. And I think at times in spells you've seen it, and that's what we're trying to do. So that was pleasing. Obviously we're clinical, some great finishes, but we have players at the top end of the pitch. I've always, you know, wherever I've been, I've always tried to be that type of player that can do something, get you out of your seat, because as much as you're the head coach, whatever, you still want to, enjoy the team you're watching. And there were certainly moments today that gave you a lot of enjoyment.
I don't know what he was eating during
couldn't
the
concentrate
interview.
On what he was saying.
Must have great pies at Hampden.
Making me a bit hungry, actually. It's getting to that time of the night. But Hugh, that you would have to do that, to be fair, because the arithmetic tells you that it's anybody's. You know, it's Queen's Park, certainly can't get carried away. Owen Coyle will be tempering expectations as well, and talking about teams like Dundee with budgets and squads. But that said, it's a great run that they're on, and they're deserving the praise that they're getting at the moment.
I love this league. The top four were separated by 2 points at 3 o'clock. The top four are still separated by 2 points. This will go on and on. I think they all have the consistency to take this to the wire. It's going to be a sensational finish.
Yeah, that top four is opening up a little bit, as you alluded to earlier, Gordon. Mm. Remember, the full table was kind of like that, but It's 3 points between the top four. Is that what you said? Two points
separate the top four.
I think Oney makes a great point, and this is where I think the difference will be at the end of the season. He says he likes players at the top end of the pitch. It's a little bit different, can do. They've got that. Murray will score goals for fun.
Dom Thomas.
Yeah, Ayres got it as well. So I think that if you look at that, and Dundee have got decent enough players. So the guys that can, they can keep fit and bang in the important goals, I think that'll just be the fine lines that'll get someone the championship.
Yeah, I guess the losers, if you can call them that, it's not a terrible result by any stretch on a one-off, but Morton drawing at Arbroath today, so they're the only one of the top four that couldn't pick up all 3 points. They are now in fourth, but as Hugh says, the points gap makes it barely worth worrying about the actual league position. However, the picture down at the bottom is really not looking good for Hamilton Accies. They're on the receiving end of that 4-0 against Queen's Park today. Here are the thoughts of John Rankin.
I'm not happy I'm bottom of the league. We're bottom of the league. I'm really not happy. I'm disgusted. I'm embarrassed by it. And I totally understand that they're upset by it. But I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to continue to fight and try and make us better, try and get us up the league. And we can only do that by working Monday to Friday and getting on a Saturday and making it better, and players rolling their sleeves up and prepared to do the other side of the game as well as the other part of it.
Do you feel secure in your own job? Are you worried about it?
Listen, in football, you never know what's around the corner, but I'll never give up. I'll fight and I'll scrap and turn players and grab people and drag them with us. I want to go forward. I want the players to go forward. I want to believe we can get off the foot of the table. There's 2 points behind their both. That's 1-1. It changes everything, and it builds confidence, and that confidence kicks you on to the next game. We came off the back of a good result last week, and ultimately we haven't seen anything from that game today. We create chances, but the back door's too wide open for me.
Yeah, strong words. Disgusted, embarrassed at being bottom of the league.
The only break he got today was that the goalkeeper, Jamie Sneddon, scored for Partick Thistle at Cove.
Which means that Cove are only, I say only, 7 points ahead of Hamilton Accies in third place.
Bottom.
It's a long slog. I can only wish John Rankin well. It would appear on the face of it, the odds are against him.
Yeah, he's as honest a pro as I've ever came across, and you can hear that with what he's saying, because he understands football and football management and how results like that could lead to you losing your job, I guess. But, I mean, he went from Hearts reserve. He decided it was time to get in to first team coaching, and he went there. He took the step, brave step, because if you're in that job, I dare say it's quite a cushy number. If you're a reserve team coach and you can just tick along behind the scenes, but he made the step. He's made the step to management, and he's finding it difficult with a young squad. I don't think anybody maybe thought anything other than that, but he's right. He will have to keep fighting. He will have to maybe the next game throw in some of these young players. You cannot keep picking the same players to let you down time and time again. Otherwise, you'll lose your job. So why not go with the young guys who might give you more energy and more end product?
Yeah, it's hard, Gordon, because like football management, you just simply have to take the flak. There's very rarely a situation where people would unanimously say there is nothing more the manager could do. That's just never going to happen. But you know, you look at maybe the lack of resource is really catching up with Hamilton. You look at the age of those subs, you look at the inexperience. Should they be bottom of the league? Well, maybe that's a different matter, but it's not an easy set of circumstances.
Yeah, just listening to his interview, it's clear that he obviously feels that they're very naive at the back, Gordon, with the amount of goals and how they're losing goals, probably with ease. I think he's fighting a losing battle. He's got young players in there. And yeah, Mark makes a point, throwing the young ones energy, nothing to lose. But if you're not good enough and you're not at that stage yet, you're just going to lose game after game after game. I'll bet you John Rankin is a pro, and we've all been there. He'll have tried every different thing, changing training schedules, working in different things, changing systems, the full lot. That's a very competitive league, and there's a lot of good teams and a lot of good experienced players in it, and Hamilton are struggling just now. But I'd be interesting to see what the board and the fans think, because Hamilton's a very, very good club. They back the manager, they go with the manager, they run the club very well, they bring through young players, but relegation is certainly staring them in the face just now.
We're almost there. What will the picture look like then by the time we come back on Monday? We know the Netherlands are through. Are Argentina joining them, or does the Australian fairy tale continue?
No, I think it'll end tonight. I think they've done remarkably well to get to this stage, but they're coming up against a different quality of side. In the real business end of the tournament, Argentina will go through.
France to see off Poland.
Ah, easy. Poland are a gang.
England to see off Senegal.
Yep.
Japan, Croatia.
I think Japan could cause an upset.
I don't think it's an upset anymore, is it? Well, I think everybody, Spain and Germany, runners up at the last World Cup, though. Croatia are spent. Dijon putting out Josip Juranovic.
Ooh, that'd be a story.
They'll be directly up against each other. Well, that'll be the picture by the time we come back on Monday. And then, of course, I think Brazil, South Korea will take place whilst we are on air. So that is pretty much us for tonight. Thank you to Hugh Keevans, to Mark Wilson, to Gordon Dale. The biggest thanks, as always, goes to you, though. You clearly can't do this without you. So many tweets and calls on a Saturday afternoon. And I know it's a busy time of year. I know loads of you would have just been patiently, quietly listening along, whether out in the car, at home, maybe out doing your shopping. So we appreciate you getting in touch as well. It was a good old day for Queen's Park. Individually, it doesn't come much better for Jamie Sneddon. Maybe just 1 point in the bag for Partick Thistle, but a late equaliser by the Partick Thistle goalie. That will live long in the memory, I'm sure. We enjoyed covering those matches as we build back towards the return of the Premiership. Not too far away now. Rangers Hibs will be first up in the meantime, and I know it's Christmas party season, so we've got just the man for you. George Bowie, poised and ready. GBX up next.